The FDA has announced a ban on natural thyroid extracts like Armour that will impact over a million people. This is the People's Pharmacy with Terry and Joe Graydon.
Most people with underactive thyroid glands take synthetic levothyroxine, but many patients feel much better if they take a natural desiccated thyroid instead.
How will the FDA's ban affect them? What could they do if their medicines were pulled off the market?
We speak with an endocrinologist and a patient advocate about the possible ways people might deal with this situation.
Coming up on the People's Pharmacy, why is the FDA planning to ban natural desiccated thyroid?
In the People's Pharmacy Health Headlines, the FDA has just announced a change to prescribing information for hormone replacement therapy. For many years, this treatment for menopausal symptoms like hot flashes and night sweats has carried a black box warning. This warned women and their doctors that estrogen could increase the risk for endometrial cancer and could increase the risk for blood clots and cardiovascular problems. FDA Commissioner Marty McCarry has expressed his belief that the boxed warning frightened women away from a treatment that could help them. He thinks that HRT might reduce the risk of bone fractures, dementia, and even heart disease in women who start taking it at menopause. According to Dr. McCarry, with the exception of antibiotics and vaccines, there may be no medication in the modern world that can improve the health outcomes of older women on a population level more than hormone therapy. Some critics are concerned that this action, which was not vetted by an official FDA advisory panel, may undermine the agency's credibility. Apparently, the warning about the risk for endometrial cancer will remain for products that contain estrogen alone.
For years, cardiologists have warned patients with atrial fibrillation to avoid coffee. That's because they worried that caffeine would aggravate heart arrhythmias. A new study titled DECAF, which stands for Does Eliminating Coffee Avoid Fibrillation, has produced surprising results. The study published in JAMA recruited 200 coffee drinkers with AFib. Half were assigned to drink at least one cup of caffeinated coffee daily. The other half were required to abstain from coffee or any other caffeinated beverages. The study lasted 6 months. The results were unexpected. Coffee drinkers had a significantly lower likelihood of recurrent atrial fibrillation. One possible explanation is that coffee has anti-inflammatory properties. Because some research suggests that chronic inflammation contributes to AFib, lowering inflammation might be beneficial. The authors conclude that one cup of coffee daily was associated with a lower risk of atrial fibrillation and atrial flutter recurrence.
Cardiologists have long known that low levels of circulating vitamin D may increase the risk for a heart attack. A study presented at the American Heart Association Scientific Sessions showed that people taking vitamin D supplements to raise their blood levels to at least 40 nanograms per milliliter significantly reduced their chance of a second heart attack. The study included 630 people who had suffered a heart attack less than a month before entering the trial. Such individuals are at risk for a second heart attack. Investigators assigned them to a control group that received no vitamin D management or an intervention group that had regular measurement of vitamin D and adjustment of their supplements to reach the target blood level. When the study began, 85% of the volunteers were below target. Many required supplements of 5,000 international units of vitamin D3 daily to reach 40 nanograms per milliliter. Those taking supplements were half as likely to experience a second heart attack compared to those not receiving supplements.
Metabolic syndrome is a cluster of three or more risk factors that increase the chance for cardiovascular complications such as heart attacks, strokes, peripheral artery disease, along with diabetes. Risk factors for metabolic syndrome include high blood pressure, abdominal adiposity, elevated blood sugar, and high triglycerides. A new study has found that 6 months of lifestyle interventions to encourage new habits of healthier eating and greater physical activity led to long-term benefits.
Following a DASH diet rich in vegetables and fruits and low in processed foods can help lower blood pressure. But what about people who live in food deserts where fresh produce is not readily available? A study compared home-delivered DASH-type groceries and dietary advice to monetary stipends for groceries. 3 months of DASH grocery delivery lowered blood pressure and LDL cholesterol levels more than the $500 monthly stipends. And that's the health news from the People's Pharmacy this week.
Welcome to the People's Pharmacy. I'm Joe Graydon.
And I'm Terry Graydon. Hypothyroidism is surprisingly common, affecting over 20 million Americans. In this condition, the thyroid gland does not produce an appropriate amount of thyroid hormone. This leads to a wide range of uncomfortable symptoms and some serious health consequences. Treatment is thought to be simple, but not everyone responds to the standard therapy. What can people do if they still feel bad while taking their prescribed medication?
To help us understand the complexity of treating hypothyroidism, we turn to one of the country's leading experts. Dr. Antonio Bianco is professor of medicine and a member of the Committee on Molecular Metabolism and Nutrition at the University of Chicago, where he runs a laboratory funded by the National Institutes of Health to study thyroid hormones. Dr. Bianco is a former president of the American Thyroid Association and author of Rethinking Hypothyroidism, Why Treatment Must Change and What Patients Can Do.
Welcome back to the People's Pharmacy, Dr. Antonio Bianco.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Dr. Bianco, a lot of your colleagues, endocrinologists, family practice physicians, internists, they think that thyroid disorders are easy to treat. Why is that a mistake?
Well, the most common disease of the thyroid gland is hypothyroidism. And it is true that for the last 50 years, we have been treating patients with hypothyroidism with the daily tablet of what's called levothyroxine. And the dose is easily adjusted. And usually we tell patients, come back in 6 months, then come back in a year. And this is sort of very straightforward to the point that it doesn't have to be even treated by an endocrinologist. It can be treated by a primary care physician, a gynecologist, a geriatrician. I mean, most internists can treat hypothyroidism.
But you suggest it's not as easy as that.
That's right. It's and that has been a mistake that we did in the last 50 years again. We assumed that once we achieved the dose of this magical drug called levothyroxine, patients will feel without symptoms, would be relieved of their symptoms. And in fact, it is true for most patients. We estimate that about 80%, maybe 85% of the patients are treated with this approach and they feel fine. However, we do have a substantial number of patients that it seems small, 15%, but hypothyroidism is so prevalent. We have about 20 million people living in the U.S. with hypothyroidism. So if you've estimate about 10-20%, we're talking about 3 to 4 million people. And for those individuals, treatment is not as straightforward. Even though the doctor thinks that the treatment is okay, it's as it should be, they remain symptomatic. They still have symptoms.
Dr. Bianco, we have been hearing from people with hypothyroidism for decades ourselves. They write into the People's Pharmacy, or they call, and they say, I am taking Synthroid or Levoxyl, one of those T4 drugs, levothyroxine, and I still feel awful. I still feel tired. I still feel cold. Women still say, I still am having problems with my menstrual cycles. Many people say, I still can't lose weight. In fact, I keep gaining weight, even though I'm trying hard to lose it. They have many symptoms, and they don't feel good, and they say, my doctor doesn't seem interested.
Well, not only that, they say, my doctor says I'm doing great. My TSH level, this monitor for my thyroid, is perfect. No problems. Be happy. Don't worry.
In a nutshell, you capture exactly what the problem is. That's exactly right. And so what we think is the problem is that these Synthroid or Levoxyl, they contain this molecule called levothyroxine, which is the thyroid hormone. And levothyroxine is not active, meaning when a patient takes a tablet of levothyroxine, levothyroxine by itself cannot relieve symptoms of hypothyroid.
It
just doesn't do anything.
I think that's a really important point that isn't adequately appreciated. Say it again, please.
Yes. The substance contained in those tablets, either Levoxyl or Synthroid or any generic form of levothyroxine, it's not active. It's a dead molecule. And we rely on our body to take that molecule and activate, to process it, to transform it into a molecule that is biologically active, meaning can relieve symptoms of hypothyroidism. And some of us do their job very well. Unfortunately, some of us don't do that. And those individuals that remain symptomatic, we believe they have a sort of a problem in activating the molecule, the T4, to this other molecule called T3. And so they live in a state of chronic T3 insufficiency. And it so happens T3 is the molecule that relieves symptoms of hypothyroidism.
Perhaps we could take just a moment to review the physiology of the thyroid gland. Why is the thyroid, and in particular, that active form, T3, so crucial to every cell in our body?
The thyroid mostly makes T4, which again is this molecule that is not active. But T4 remains in the circulation, in the blood. A little bit of T4 goes into the cells. Most T4, it's in the circulation. Now, once T4 gets into the cells and tissues and organs, T4 is rapidly activated to T3, so that inside that organ, T3 can act and relieve symptoms of hypothyroidism. Now, when doctors look at the TSH, and you mentioned TSH, TSH is this hormone that controls the thyroid gland. TSH likes to see T3 in the circulation within the normal range, so that if you have a healthy thyroid, the TSH controls the thyroid gland to the point that T3 in the circulation is normal. Now, when a patient has hypothyroidism and we give the patient T4, only T4, and rely on the TSH to estimate how much T4 we should give, then the system gets confused because TSH regulates the T3 levels in the circulation, and yet we're giving a lot of T4 to the patient. Yes, we can regulate TSH with T4, but it's not the same as having an intact thyroid. And that has been the mistake we've done over the last 50 years. We relied on TSH and treated patients with only one hormone. And all along, we needed two hormones to treat these patients. I mean, we believe that this T3 insufficiency should be fixed by adding a second hormone to the treatment.
Now, Dr. Bianco, a little bit of personal information here. I am one of those people with hypothyroidism. I have had it since 1974. I am part of your 80% of people who actually feel pretty good on T4 alone. So I've been taking Synthroid all these years. When I go to my physician for a checkup and she orders a blood test to see how my thyroid is doing, the only thing she's looking at is TSH. Is that a problem? When Joe gets his blood tested for his hyperthyroidism condition, his doctor is looking at T4, T3, all kinds of different thyroid hormone levels, not just TSH.
That is a problem. And that is part of that, I think that's a big part of the problem. We got used to just looking at TSH to adjust the dose of levothyroxine. And we were missing the big picture, which is a relative T3 deficiency that these patients experience. And you're right. Some patients or most patients can't cope with that. You know, they just don't feel bothered by that. But there's a small minority that symptoms
Dr. Bianco,
are really important.
15% is not a small minority.
I mean, you've already said over a million, maybe as many as 2 or 3
correct.
Million. This is not a minority.
Absolutely. Percentage-wise, yes. Percentage-wise, yes. But it is a vocal and it's a very important minority.
What else should doctors be testing for besides TSH?
T4 and T3. If they have to control, the purpose of the treatment of hypothyroidism has been to normalize TSH. And I advocate for it that we have to look at T3 levels because T3 is the hormone that relieves symptoms. T3 is the hormone that actually do things. And we should be looking at normalizing those levels.
You're listening to Dr. Antonio Bianco, professor of medicine at the University of Chicago. He's a member of the Committee on Molecular Metabolism and Nutrition there, and he runs a laboratory that studies thyroid hormones. Dr. Bianco is a former president of the American Thyroid Association and author of Rethinking Hypothyroidism: Why Treatment Must Change and What Patients Can Do.
After the break, we'll learn about the symptoms troubling some patients even though they're being treated for hypothyroidism.
Low energy and brain fog are not very specific. What should make us suspect they could be due to thyroid problems?
Dr. Bianco is challenging the usual approach to hypothyroidism. How are his colleagues reacting?
You're listening to The People's Pharmacy with Joe and Terry Graydon.
Welcome back to The People's Pharmacy. I'm Joe Graydon.
And I'm Terry Graydon. Today we're analyzing the FDA's plan to withdraw permission for natural thyroid extract, also referred to as desiccated thyroid. What will happen to patients who rely on products like Armour Thyroid if they can no longer access the medications their doctors have prescribed?
We're talking with Dr. Antonio Bianco. He is Senior Vice President of Health Affairs, Chief Research Officer, and Dean of the John Seeley School of Medicine at the University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston. His book is Rethinking Hypothyroidism, Why Treatment Must Change and What Patients Can Do.
Dr. Bianco, we really appreciate the overview and the history that we have gotten now. The reason we're talking with you is that the FDA has announced that it is going to withdraw its permission from suppliers of desiccated thyroid extract. I'm not quite sure what the timeline is. I think they suggested perhaps about a year from last August. But thyroid patients who are relying on desiccated thyroid extract to treat their hypothyroid condition are worried that they are going to be left out in the cold. And because they are hypothyroid, they are really going to feel that cold. Can you fill us in on what the FDA has in mind, if you have any insight into that, and what people might be able to do?
Yeah, well, that is a problem. I agree with you. We have 1.5 million patients taking this drug. And the FDA just announced that in 12 months, starting in August, that drug is not going to be available. And what the FDA is asking physicians is to switch those patients that are taking desiccated thyroid extract to take levothyroxine, which is the recognized standard of care. But the problem is, these patients are on desiccated thyroid extract most likely because they tried levothyroxine before, and the levothyroxine was not sufficient to resolve all their symptoms. That's why they were switched to desiccated thyroid extract. That's the recommendation that the clinical professional societies are providing. You start treatment with levothyroxine, and if that doesn't resolve all the symptoms, you can try combination therapy for these patients, either with desiccated thyroid extract or synthetic combination of levothyroxine and liothyronine. So these patients have tried levothyroxine, and levothyroxine failed them. And that's why they're happy on desiccated thyroid extract. So the idea that we should all move our patients to taking levothyroxine now, it's a little bit concerning, because it is my experience that these patients rely on that drug. Their lives are many times miserable without the desiccated thyroid extract or the synthetic combination.
Let me interrupt you right there again, Dr. Bianco. What do you think will happen if 1 million to 1.5 million people are switched from desiccated or natural thyroid to levothyroxine, people who have failed in the past on levothyroxine? What are some of the symptoms that they may encounter when they're switched back to the pure synthetic levothyroxine?
Yeah, the main symptoms include brain fog, the inability to function normally, and I had many patients that complained of brain fog, patients that lost their jobs because they couldn't focus. I have, teachers, high school teachers that were functioning well. They were diagnosed with hypothyroidism. They were treated with levothyroxine. And for, by all accounts, they were okay, biochemically okay. The lab tests were okay, but they did not feel well. They had brain fog. They couldn't focus. They lost their jobs. I have countless stories, and my colleagues do too. So I think that if they are forced to go back to levothyroxine, it will be a problem for their lives.
What are some of the other symptoms? Because we've heard of people who say, I just couldn't lose weight on levothyroxine.
That's right. Yes,
and absolutely. I feel cold.
Yes.
And I'm constipated.
Yes, all the symptoms. The symptoms are very similar to the symptoms of hypothyroidism in lesser intensity. So the second most common is low energy. Patients feel very tired, no motivation to do things. And that is very helpful. The third one is difficulty managing body weight. That's also a major problem. So this is going to be very inconvenient for those patients.
And that, I think, is why patients are really, I might say, alarmed at the prospect. Is there any possibility that that a desiccated thyroid extract might actually be approved by the FDA?
Well, yes, that would be terrific. So we have, I'm aware of about two or three pharmaceutical companies that are currently running clinical trials. In communication with the FDA, they are in constant communication with the FDA. The FDA knows about their results, and they have these clinical trials that are ongoing, and they are in the process of getting this drug approved. So it's not that they're doing it without the knowledge of the FDA. No, they know very well what they're doing. But of course, it takes time because it involves hundreds, sometimes thousands of patients that have to be studied on trial. So it takes time. It's a long process.
Well, you know, I find it rather paradoxical that the overarching company that makes Synthroid, which is the best-selling brand name levothyroxine, is AbbVie. And the same company, AbbVie, owns the company that creates the best-selling desiccated thyroid, Armour Thyroid. So you have AbbVie with its tentacles, so to speak, mm-hmm. in both the brand name synthetic levothyroxine and the natural mm-hmm. combination of desiccated thyroid. And so presumably they have enough money, resources, and expertise to be able to run the clinical trials that you've described. But the question is, will they be able to meet the timetable of the Food and Drug Administration? And what will patients do if, for some reason, for example, they cannot access Armour or any other desiccated thyroid?
Right. No, that's quite interesting. You pointed to a very interesting thing. It was fate that levothyroxine was going to be manufactured and sold by the same company that makes desiccated thyroid extract. That's quite interesting. Now, they are running. They are one of the companies that are running clinical trials. They already have actually presented the results of their trial in a meeting of the American Thyroid Association two or three years ago in Montreal, and the results were quite satisfactory, meaning that following the guidance from the FDA, they were able to show scientifically that patients can effectively and safely be treated with desiccated thyroid extract. The results were presented at the American Thyroid Association meeting. Obviously, that's the first step. Now they're working with the FDA into the second step of the study, which involves a much larger number of patients.
Now, for somebody who panics and they say, well, what will I do? They could ask their family physician or their endocrinologist to prescribe the synthetic versions. How different is it likely to be clinically if someone were to receive both levothyroxine and liothyronine?
Right.
The two synthetic, the brand name, by the way, is Cytomel for that liothyronine
right.
T3. Just give us a clinical overview.
Yeah, I mean, I think that from a clinical point of view, that would essentially be the best alternative available. The physician will, obviously, is not going to be a primary care physician because they will have to refer these patients to the endocrinologist. I don't think primary care physicians or family physicians will feel comfortable prescribing a combination of levothyroxine and liothyronine. So endocrinologists will be swamped with 1.5 million patients in this country that will be switching to synthetic combination of T4 and T3. Now, this is totally feasible, and I think it's going to resolve most of the problems if that's the route. However, two drugs requires two co-payments in most cases, and it requires taking two tablets. Some patients, they say that they don't do well with synthetic levothyroxine. So they just prefer the natural thing. They will tell you, my body does not accept the synthetic levothyroxine. Although I don't see a scientific reason for that to be the case, the patients are adamant and they really feel the difference. So I've been wrong in the past, and I rather listen to what the patients are telling me and how they feel about it. And I would rather maintain them on the desiccated thyroid extract if that is the case.
Well, we know that there are a lot of patients who would prefer that route as well. I don't know if this has any relevance for how people might feel, but I know that some versions of levothyroxine, Synthroid, for example, does contain lactose as a filler. Mm-hmm. And if people were extremely lactose sensitive, it's a small amount, so they'd have to be very extra lactose sensitive. That might be a problem for them. Dr. Antonio Bianco, thank you so much for talking with us on the People's Pharmacy today.
That was my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me back.
You've been listening to Dr. Antonio Bianco, Senior Vice President of Health Affairs, Chief Research Officer, and Dean of the John Seeley School of Medicine at the University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston. His book is Rethinking Hypothyroidism: Why Treatment Must Change and What Patients Can Do.
We turn now to patient advocate Mary Shoman to get some perspective from people who rely on natural desiccated thyroid for their treatment. She's the author of The Thyroid Diet and 10 other books and a Paloma Health advisor. You can find her newsletter, Sticking Out Our Necks Hormonal Health News, on Substack.
Welcome back to the People's Pharmacy, Mary Shoman.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Mary, we've just had an opportunity to talk with Dr. Antonio Bianco, and he shares with us that many of his colleagues who he has talked to, endocrinologists, are concerned about the Food and Drug Administration's decision to, in a sense, eliminate the DTE, the desiccated thyroid extract, which is kind of shocking, I think, to a lot of us. So both the endocrinology community and I suspect patients are kind of worried. What are you hearing from your colleagues, your patients, the people who have been following you for many years?
I am hearing a lot of confusion. Dr. Bianco has said, there just is not enough information, and there is no real clarity coming out of the FDA and the Department of Health and Human Services. So it feels a little bit like a roller coaster for patients and for their providers, because we are in a situation where we have probably at least a million or more thyroid patients who rely on natural desiccated thyroid, or DTE, in order to treat their hypothyroidism. Yet the FDA, which we thought was giving us till the end of the decade to get this NDT, DTE situation sorted out, has now narrowed the time frame, declared this drug to be a biologic after 100 and some years on the market, and has basically left us wondering, are they going to pull it off the market with no approved alternatives for us, which would force patients either to go without medication or to take medication that for many of us we have taken in the past and it has failed us. It has not worked for us to serve as a thyroid hormone replacement. So it's confusion on the part of the patients. The doctors and practitioners that prescribe for these patients are confused because they don't know what to do to protect their patients' continuity of treatment. And then we get mixed messages coming out of the FDA. You've got some of them saying, oh, we're getting rid of it. We hate it. Dr. Tidwell apparently just can't stand this, and he has made it very clear. Then we've got Dr. McCarry, and we've got Robert F. Kennedy, the secretary, saying, oh, no, we're going to save it. We're going to keep it. We're going to make sure it's available. What's the actual plan? Right now, we think it's going off the market in about a year, and that's what we know. And that is a frightening concept for most thyroid patients who rely on it.
Mary, I would like to just have you clarify for people who are listening and might not be aware of the abbreviations that we've been using, NDT and DTE, they're really the same thing. Would you explain what those abbreviations mean?
Sure. NDT is the abbreviation for natural desiccated thyroid, and DTE is desiccated thyroid extract. They're basically synonymous or equivalent, and they are referring to a form of thyroid hormone replacement that comes currently from porcine or pig thyroid glands that have been prepared and dried and created into a thyroid hormone replacement that contains both T4 and T3, the two primary thyroid hormones that are needed to replace missing thyroid hormone in the body. They are different from the prevailing or most popular thyroid drug, which is levothyroxine, which is a synthetic form of only the T4 hormone, whereas the NDT or DTE contains both T4 and T3, but it's coming from natural sources rather than synthesized.
And it's my understanding, Mary, that if the FDA follows through on its plan, the natural or desiccated thyroid extract will disappear from the market August of 2026. Is that right?
Well, this is at least what the official statements have said. But we have posts on X, formerly Twitter, that suggest otherwise, that, oh, we're going to ensure that patients still have access to their medication. But that has not been formalized with any releases or official guidance or official policy decisions that have come out from the FDA. So that's all basically just a promise on social media, but nothing more. Currently, I'm operating as if the policies that are issued by the FDA are the ones that are going to be honored, in which case we're looking at NDT going off the market sometime next year, probably late summer, as you said, unless someone miraculously is able to get through the very onerous and expensive and time-consuming process of a biologic license approval to get the NDT approved as a biologic drug, which is what they are requiring for this drug to be able to be sold on the market and prescribed by doctors in the United States.
You're listening to Mary Shoman, patient advocate and author of numerous books about thyroid disease. You can find her newsletter on Substack.
After the break, we'll learn more about Mary Shoman's 30 years as a patient advocate and her experience with Hashimoto's disease.
Dr. Bianco said that people on levothyroxine alone don't do as well as those on DTE in controlling their cholesterol.
Why hasn't the endocrinology community taken that discrepancy more seriously?
We'll find out what steps Mary Shoman is taking to advocate for all thyroid patients.
What about importing DTE from Canada? Is that feasible?
You're listening to The People's Pharmacy with Joe and Terry Graydon.
Thank you. Welcome back to The People's Pharmacy. I'm Joe Graydon.
And I'm Terry Graydon. The People's Pharmacy is brought to you in part by Sonu, an FDA-approved drug-free treatment for nasal congestion and runny nose, using sound instead of steroids. More at GetSonu.com. That's GetSonu.com.
Many people who have done well on natural desiccated thyroid extract are worried that the FDA is planning to eliminate these products. Most have already tried synthetic levothyroxine with limited success.
What will they do if the FDA's ban goes into effect?
Our guest is Mary Showman. She's a patient advocate and the author of The Thyroid Diet and 10 other books. Mary is a Paloma Health Advisor. You can find her newsletter, Sticking Out Our Necks, Hormonal Health News, on Substack.
Mary Showman, you are widely recognized as an advocate for people with thyroid problems, especially hypothyroidism. Part of that is because you yourself have had a long-term personal experience with Hashimoto's disease, which can lead to hypothyroidism. Would you recap for us briefly, please, some of the milestones of your 30-year journey with Hashimoto's?
Absolutely. When I was first diagnosed with hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's, it was really not very well known to me. I was in the process of getting married. I was engaged. I kept going for dress fittings. And every time I went for a fitting, instead of taking the dress in, as they often do, because brides are always eager to lose weight, they had to keep letting my dress out, which was unusual because I had always had a normal metabolism. I was fairly slender. I felt great. And all of a sudden, my dress is getting let out and I'm tired and I'm feeling kind of blue and depressed, which is not the norm for a bride to be. So I went to my doctor and I told her what was going on. And luckily I had a very good integrative physician who immediately decided to go ahead and check my thyroid. And it came back that I was slightly hypothyroid and had slightly elevated thyroid antibodies. And so she said, we'll put you on some medication. And I thought, okay, great, this is going to solve the problem because I really didn't know anything about thyroid disease. She put me on the meds and things didn't get better. I kept gaining weight. I was more depressed. My hair started falling out. I was tired and brain fogged and all of the symptoms that are characteristically associated with hypothyroidism. And I eventually went back to her. We worked on this multiple times and really got to a place where we were able to start changing around, switching over. I started out by taking a T4, T3 combination drug that is not on the market at present called Thyrolar. That was a synthetic combo of the two hormones. Then we switched over to natural thyroid. And at that time, I was taking Armour Thyroid. And I started to feel better. I also started to learn more, which back in those days, this is the very earliest days of the internet, was an adventure. There was not a lot of attention paid to thyroid. And doctors often said, oh, it's easy to diagnose, easy to treat. Just take one pill every day. Don't worry about it. Well, I discovered after talking with other thyroid patients and connecting and forming community with them, not the case. A lot of people still were struggling. And that was really the beginning of my journey into patient advocacy and writing books and articles and providing information and creating support groups and other components to really help empower thyroid patients to develop their own information, empowerment, and to seek out and work with the physicians who really understood hypothyroidism. So it's been a 30-year journey. And I'm still on it and still working to advocate for myself and helping others stay well, because that's really the goal, is we want to feel well, we want to live well.
And you have done an extraordinary job educating not just patients, but also I think a lot of healthcare professionals. One of the things that Dr. Bianco shared with us just blew my mind, just to be honest with you. I was like, oh my goodness, that's extraordinary. He looked at this gigantic database that he has, and apparently he and his colleagues have just published this data a couple of months back, and it showed that people who are on standard levothyroxine, you know, Synthroid and other products, they don't do as well as the, I think, endocrinology community thought they were doing in terms of things like mortality, in things like
dementia.
I mean, so, you know, the stuff that people really care about, these patients weren't doing as well, even though their thyroid levels seem to be, quote unquote, in the normal range. And Dr. Bianco then compared the outcome of these patients over a long period of time with people who were on desiccated thyroid extract, natural thyroid. And those people did better. They did better than the people on synthetic thyroid in terms of longevity, in terms of brain fog, in terms of just cholesterol levels in the liver. And when I got done listening to him, I thought, wow, why hasn't the endocrinology community recognized that there are long-term consequences in terms of, you know, general mortality rates and how people are feeling? And why hasn't the FDA recognized what Dr. Bianco has discovered?
It's a good question. And I have to say, I have the most incredible respect for Dr. Bianco, because he has been out there for decades really thinking outside the box from the endocrinologist standpoint, because endocrinologists tend to be fairly hidebound. They stick with what they know. They're slow to change. They're slow to move into new ways of thinking. I mean, think about how it's taken decades for the medical establishment to accept that blood sugar levels over 100 are problematic and that we need to watch those because people are on the way to potential type 2 diabetes. It used to be, unless your blood sugar was over a certain level, you were fine. Now we know there are gradations on the way to blood sugar problems. And I think it's the same thing for thyroid. We are just now starting to see the endocrinology community accept that there is a subset of patients who absolutely need the two hormones rather than just the T4 hormone. The understanding was always, oh, patients get T4, their body converts it to T3, everything's great, we're copacetic. Now, we do know that there are problems with genetic changes. There are incapacity to convert T4 into T3 that's built in genetically in some people. And they're just now starting to say, okay, well, that makes sense. It's not just a patient preference issue. Well, they're going to be moving slowly in this direction towards understanding that the T4-T3 combination therapy may in fact be better for the majority of patients. But that said, my philosophy for 30 years has been the best thyroid medication or best thyroid hormone replacement for you is the one that works best and safely for you. And having been in touch with thousands and thousands of patients over the years, I can tell you that there is a patient for every possible permutation and combination where that has been the best choice for them. For some, synthetic is perfect. For others, they need a particular brand of whatever drug they're taking. Others do better on combinations. Some people need compounded mixtures. Some people like the T4 and T3. Others do well with T4. And we have a small subset that do better with just T3. So safest and best relief of symptoms for you is ultimately the best option for patients. And the key for me is making sure that the medical world makes those options available to us and doesn't take away options that we may need, at least a subset of us, me included, because I'm a desiccated thyroid patient. I use desiccated thyroid for my hormone replacement. Don't take away options that work for me and for other thyroid patients. Make sure we have options and let us know what the different pros and cons are of the different options.
Mary, I wonder if you can tell us what you are doing as an activist to see if this action of the FDA, this proposed action, it can be counteracted.
Well, I have been talking with several of the drug manufacturers, number one, because they are all obviously quite interested in trying to In some cases, they're applying for their BLAs, but biologic license applications for their formulations of natural desiccated thyroid, but that is going to be a lengthy process. Some of them are already in progress, but it's probably not going to come early enough if the FDA does, in fact, pull the medication off the market in a few months into the summer of 2026. But what we're doing is I'm talking with the manufacturers, we're talking with the patient organizations, other patient advocates, and we've got patients reaching out to their representatives, to the FDA itself, writing in, making complaints, talking about and sharing their stories, because there are patients who have done every possible trial in the world on all of the different options, and natural desiccated thyroid is the only thing that has worked for them. And I'm an advisor with Paloma Health, which is a large medical practice that focuses on hypothyroidism. And our team of doctors have also been reaching out to explain situations, obviously without violating patient confidentiality, but saying, look, I have patients that will not survive if you take natural desiccated thyroid off the market, because we've tried them on synthetics. We've tried them on every option and it doesn't work for them. So I need this as an available option for some of my patients that rely on it for their very survival. Because for those of us who are hypothyroid, thyroid medication's not an option. We have to have it in order to function, for our body to function, all of our organs, tissues, glands, and cells.
Mary, I wonder if you could tell us a story about one or two of those people who are going to be just completely in terrible trouble if the FDA completes its action as proposed and the companies don't yet have their biologic license in place.
Absolutely. I'm thinking of one patient that I know who's also a friend of mine, and she's in her early 70s. She's a widow, and she has tried every possible thyroid medication. She got no response taking synthetics. The doctors haven't really ever figured out why her body would not absorb them. We're not sure if it was a malabsorption or ingredient allergy or sensitivity. But once she started taking natural thyroid, which was more than 10 years ago, she was able to get her thyroid levels under control. The blood tests showed that the thyroid hormone was getting into her system, which it had not been doing on the Synthroid. It helped relieve depression, fatigue, exhaustion, brain fog, muscle pain, and weakness. And she basically said to me, if they take my natural thyroid away, I think I'm just going to let myself die. She's that depressed about the concept of having her medication taken away. And I don't blame her, because it took her a long time. She went probably a decade or more trying to find something that worked and was dragging herself along, trying to function on a daily basis, barely. Once she got the natural thyroid, it felt like her life had come back. And she's like, don't take my life away from me again. So she's one of the people I know who has been most active. I think she has called every member of Congress, every one of her representatives multiple times. She's talked with them multiple times. She has sent letters to everyone at the FDA. She is a one-woman advocacy campaign unto herself, because it's so important to her. It is her life. And so I think she's a good example of how passionate patients can be when we know that this is something we rely on. We cannot function without it.
I'm wondering, Mary, if people will be able to access natural thyroid from Canada once the ban goes into effect. A lot of people do buy their medications from Canada online, and the FDA hasn't prevented that. But in this case, what are you hearing?
Well, what I'm hearing is that there is a lot of confusion about it, but that because in the past, it was the Canadian drugs were allowed to come in, the Canadian natural thyroid was allowed to be imported for personal use. I believe that is the language that the cross-border medication issue was. You can't bring in giant volumes and truckloads of it, but you can bring in enough for your personal use, and you can get it in Canada with a prescription. But now that it is going to be designated as a biologic, unapproved, non-approved natural desiccated thyroid will technically be illegal. And so they, I've heard that there may be a crackdown on trying to import Canadian or potentially natural thyroid from other countries that might potentially try to fill the gap. So it's really up in the air. And that's part of the big problem with this entire issue is, what are they going to do? Are they going to enforce it on in 2026? Or are they going to let it slide? Are they going to keep us from importing meds from outside or from Canada? Or are they going to crack down and say, no, nope, or maybe say, yeah, we'll let you do it until things change? It's really a question mark. And the question mark also goes into the motivations of the government, because we know that we have a new HHS secretary that's focused on more natural approaches to things, a little bit of a battle with the drug companies to some extent that we're seeing between the FDA and the HHS and the pharma industry. And so I've heard some patients say, I don't understand this. I thought they would like a natural, inexpensive drug that seems to work pretty well for us for over 100 years. Now they're putting it in for this biologic status. And frankly, that's one of the other concerns I have is how much is it going to cost? Because biologic drugs in general are extremely expensive. These are the ones we see advertised on TV all the time, the Humira and Stelara and all these drugs that sometimes can cost thousands of dollars a month. How much is natural desiccated thyroid, which most of us can get for $30, $40, $50 a month? How much is it going to cost once it's gone through this big approval and becomes a biologic drug? Who knows? It could be many times the price that we're paying now, or potentially it may be priced out to a point where it's unaffordable for most people.
Right.
Mary Shoman, thank you so much for talking with us on the People's Pharmacy today and for leading the charge.
Thank you so much, and appreciate getting the word out, because patients need to be informed in order to feel well and live well.
You've been listening to patient advocate Mary Shoman. She's the author of The Thyroid Diet and 10 other books. She's also a Paloma Health advisor. You can find her newsletter, Sticking Out Our Necks Hormonal Health News, on Substack.
We spoke earlier with Dr. Antonio Bianco, Senior Vice President of Health Affairs and Dean of the John Seeley School of Medicine at the University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston. He's the author of Rethinking Hypothyroidism, Why Treatment Must Change and What Patients Can Do.
Lynn Siegel produced today's show. Al Wadarski engineered. Dave Graydon edits our interviews. B.J. Lederman composed our theme music.
This show is a co-production of North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC, with The People's Pharmacy.
Today's show is number 1452. You can find it online at peoplespharmacy.com. That's where you can share your comments about this episode. You could also reach us through email, radio@peoplespharmacy.com.
Our interviews are available through your favorite podcast provider. You'll find the podcast on our website on Monday morning. The podcast this week has additional information we couldn't squeeze into the broadcast, with updates on Dr. Bianco's latest research showing that people on natural thyroid live longer.
At peoplespharmacy.com, you could sign up for our free online newsletter to get the latest news about important health stories. When you subscribe, you also get regular access to information about our weekly podcast. We'd be grateful if you would consider writing a review of The People's Pharmacy and posting it to the podcast platform you use.
In Durham, North Carolina, I'm Joe Graydon.
And I'm Terry Graydon. Thank you for listening. Please join us again next week.